All right, good morning, Journey Church.
Good morning, hello, good morning.
Whatever, they were just happy. Good morning, Journey Church.
Good morning.
Oh, we're ready this morning. That's fantastic. Good, because we're going to talk about food. All right, let's talk a little bit about food. There is a restaurant in New York City. I have not yet been to it, full disclosure, but it's called 11 Madison Park, and it is the top tier. This is one of those places where they've got like 7 different courses, and you can't pronounce half of what you eat. But here's a story from an experience that a couple had there. It was a couple that lived in New York City, right down there in Manhattan, and they decided for their anniversary they were going to go to this very luxurious restaurant. So they go, but halfway through they realized, actually very quickly when they got there, they realized, we left the champagne bottle in the freezer. And they're thinking to themselves, will that explode? Will that not explode? And so they asked their server, hey, maybe you know something about champagne bottles. Will this explode? We're here celebrating our anniversary. We're going to be here for a while. It's one of those, you know, it's not the one of those pop in, pop out. They're here for a couple hours, couple courses. And will that explode? And they're like, yeah, that's going to explode. All right, well, can we come back? We've made this reservation. They're like, no, can we go take it out of your refrigerator for you? And they're like, what? And they're like, yeah, give us the keys, give us the address. We will go, and we'll send somebody. We'll take it out of the freezer, and we'll put it in the fridge for you. Okay, that's weird. So they do. A couple enjoys their anniversary dinner, and then they go home. When they get home, not only is the champagne bottle in the refrigerator, but there is a sizable portion of caviar. There are fresh flowers. There are champagne flutes from Tiffany's with the engraving of Madison, 11 Madison Park on it, and a card by the chef and the co-owner and signed by the staff, happy anniversary. Can you imagine? Can you even think about the service that had to go in, the thought that went into elevating that moment for them? And it may sound like extraordinary customer service, right? But it's not. It's actually what the co-owner, Will Gordera, terms unreasonable hospitality. And the food at 11 Madison Park, top-notch. Like best in the world. But the hospitality, that level of hospitality, not just for that one guest, but for so many others, and the stories we could tell are a plethora. It's that hospitality that actually allowed that restaurant to win World's Best Restaurant in 2017. And here's the thing. They didn't invent hospitality. They didn't think it up and think, hey, no one else is doing this. We'll do it. That was actually God's idea. He's the inventor. He's the innovator behind this concept. And he tells us, his people, to be expert practitioners in it as well. To one another, to strangers, and maybe even to angels. Now I have your attention. I'd love to use that attention to open up God's word today to 1 Peter chapter 4. So if you have your Bible, please open to 1 Peter chapter 4. It's going to be really close to the back of your Bible. Or if you have a device that's smarter than you, then you can definitely use that to join us in God's word this morning. We started our summer. You've heard it a number of times. You've engaged with this idea already that we are better together. And it's a series for us. It's a series for Journey Church, for God's church family. It's for members and somewhat regular and regular attenders here at Journey Church. It's a series for the Jesus followers. It's about us. But if you're here today and you don't yet claim that you're one of us, you don't know, maybe you're coming back to church for the first time. Maybe you've had church hurt and you're like, I'm going to give it one more chance. Maybe you're not sure what you're doing here. Just write help on the connection card. That's called kidnapping. We'll help you too. But if that's your, if you're not kind of one of us yet, number one, we are so glad that you're here. We love that you're here, and we hope that you feel our hospitality today and experience that. The second thing is, there's going to be some time right now where you just get to listen and kind of watch, maybe from the outside looking in, a little bit of church family conversation here, but there'll be a moment where I want to talk to you specifically near the end of our time, and so I'll cue you into having that conversation. Our series has a theme that runs through it. It's a truth that we believe from Scripture, that God has a design for how we should treat one another, making us better together. And we're going to see that through the 59 one another's that we're looking at this summer, not that we're looking at all 59. We looked at the first one. We loved it so much we put it on the wall. Jesus last week told us in John 13 that a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. We agreed, or at least I saw your heads nodding, and I chose to believe that you believed with me, that we are better together when we love one another like Jesus. And Peter hasn't forgotten that. And so if you do have your Bibles open, look at verse 8 in 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter says to his church, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. He was there when Jesus spoke that. He took that to heart. He has lived that out. Now he's teaching that to his church. He says, love is, and always should be, the motivation and the fuel behind our actions. It has to be. In the New Testament alone, there are 59 commandments or teachings that we are to obey as Jesus followers to something one another. Love one another, bear one another's burden, have hospitality to one another. There's 59 of them. There is absolutely no way we can live that out with one another unless it's through Jesus' love. We can maybe white knuckle one or two of them, maybe fake three or four of them, but there is no way we are better together unless it's from the foundation of love. And so Peter reminds them, love one another. To start there. And then he moves on to this, verse 9. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Show hospitality to one another, little caveat, without grumbling. Parents, you know what this is like. Eat your peas, but without that face. I see that face. I know what that means. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Well, hospitality is a big box, right? We saw what they did with it at 11 Madison Park, and then you probably have a thought of what hospitality looks like in your influence and control. And so we need to do some unpacking so we're on the same page today. And so what we're going to do today and walk through is we're going to define it. We're going to look at its origin and its future. Operating system of 1.0 and then 2.0, Old Testament, New Testament, and then we're going to look at some ways that you and I can live out hospitality in the days to come. And the brand of hospitality that we want to experience within one another here is this idea that we are better together when our hospitality wows. When our hospitality wows. Let's define hospitality together, shall we? Many of us think of hospitality in generic ways. Maybe it's things like hosting or opening our homes or serving a meal or making people feel comfortable or just welcoming them or being friendly or smiling or keeping a clean home or space. And those aren't wrong to know that that's a part of the box that hospitality lives in, but that's not how we define it through Scripture. I think the better way to define it is that it is an intentional, gospel-driven love and generosity that welcomes others with kindness, making space for them to belong. Now, me and ChatGPT tried to get that down to like a really quick, catchy little phrase, but there's just too much that we need to know about hospitality that's in this definition. The first is that it's intentional. Right, it is a choice that we need to make. It's an action that has planning and purpose. Like we heard happened at 11 Madison Park, we have to be on the lookout. We have to be active in our listening and looking for opportunities. Like there at that restaurant, we have to systematize it. We have to know that when we walk into certain spaces, there will be opportunities. We just have to be on the lookout for them. We need to know that it's gospel-driven love and generosity, right? When what we do from others, as we talked about, as Peter said in verse 8, needs to come from the lavish love and hospitality that we have received from the Lord. We talk a lot about here about the idea of blessed to be a blessing, loved to be loving, right? We need to know that this gospel love and generosity has first been offered and received by us, so that we can go and offer and receive it to others. That it welcomes others in kindness. Now, our series is focused on one another, on what it looks like here at Journey Church. But hospitality does not have a VIP list. What we do for each other, we should and can do for strangers. And ultimately, we have to do not just for strangers, but people who are stranger, who don't look like us, don't think like us, don't believe the things we believe, don't look like us. The way we look and love hospitality here should be kind of exploding and exponential to those who are outside of us. It's this idea that kindness is the currency of our love and generosity. Kindness ultimately is a posture of our heart. It's not just a kind deed, it's a posture of both our heart and our actions, and making space for them to belong. Hospitality ultimately means that we're interruptible. When we are on the lookout intentionally for those moments and they come, we can't be like, sweet, I'm gonna schedule that for 2 weeks from now. I mean, I would wanna do that, I'm a scheduling hound, but it's saying, nope, you know what? This moment, being present, this person, this is the moment that I'm created for hospitality. It's making space. And to belong means that those who receive our generosity of hospitality, that they understand that they can leave their baggage, their pretense, their thought that they maybe need to pretend in front of us, the mask that they would wear, they can leave that at the door. That this is a space for us to accept the mess that we meet them in. It means the physical, the emotional, the spiritual mess, that we invest the time and the effort in each other to truly say, you are known. I love an amazing quick definition of intimacy is into me you see. And to really feel like we belong with one another means that you see the real me. And if you really want to get technical and theological, which you may not, but I really do, because I like that stuff, there's a small Bible word, it's a Hebrew word, but it's got a big concept, and it's the word shalom. Have you heard that word before? Yeah? Say that with me, shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. It's not Shazam, nothing's going to appear when you say that word, that's totally something different. But now you know Hebrew, you can just be like, Duolingo, thank you very much. Shalom. Now, you may think shalom is just this idea of peace. It has that in its understanding, but really shalom has a larger concept. It's about wholeness, not holiness, wholeness, being whole. It's about flourishing. It's about restoration. When we make space for one another in this idea of shalom, in this idea of hospitality being restorative and flourishing, we are participating in God's restorative work in one another. We are working with the Holy Spirit to help this person feel like flourishing is available to them, that they are seen by God because they are seen by us. So I had this thought this week, as I was studying a little bit more about shalom, is hospitality then is a form of spiritual warfare. Have you thought about that? That when Paul says that we fight not against flesh and blood, but about against principalities of this world that we do not see, that hospitality becomes an act for us of spiritual warfare, teeming with what God is doing in the unseen against isolation and division and fragmentation that this world and the principalities use as their weapons to divide, to have you and I and others around us feel like they are less than, that they are not created in God's image. And so then to give shalom through hospitality is to fight against the very thing that is fighting against us. See, we are better together when our hospitality wows. And hospitality is not our idea. God began that idea. We see in Genesis chapter 1, right at the very beginning of God's story. In verse 27, he says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I am giving you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. and to every beast of the earth and every bird of the heavens and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath, has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God begins his story and our story with him making a home for humanity. He tells them that I want you to dwell here, but he is a gracious and generous person of hospitality. He's instilling welcome and love and kindness into the very fabric of the created order. We're told that he places Adam and Eve there. We're told that he comes and he walks and dwells with them in the cool of the evening when it's in the best time for them. He comes and he shows them that they belong in his midst. Right? He's thought of everything. He's prepared every space in the garden for his guests in order to thrive and flourish. He comes in that relationship in that night. But his hospitality is taken for granted. His one stipulation is broken, and therefore the connection is broken as a result of that sin. And so hospitality begins to flourish, and then we find that it's broken. But that's not how the story ends. We go right to the end then. We bookend this and look in Revelation chapter 21. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. Are you seeing reflections back to the garden? And he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for their former things have passed away. Doesn't that sound amazing? Doesn't that just sound inviting? The Bible ends kind of the way it begins in some ways. God recreates a home for those who believed in him through his son Jesus, who trusted in Jesus as their Savior and Lord, so that they may dwell with him again in relationship. My wife, April, she was the one who led one of the songs there. Now she's mortified that I pointed her out, but she loves the outdoors. That's her happy place. That's where she comes alive. You get her into nature, and it's just amazing to watch her flourish there. I love to go out the door sometimes. But when I go out the door, my happy place is into a city. Man, I love the bustling metropolises. I love the concrete jungles. I'm a city guy. I love it. I think if God wanted us to be in nature, he wouldn't have put bugs there. Personal theology, could be wrong. Just saying, that's where I get it. But we do have this conversation at home because she loves nature and I love the city and we're equally yoked in many ways, but not this one. I say, listen, just so you know, theologically, we start in a garden and end in a city. So just prepare your heart. But whether you're a city person or a garden person, here's the deal. They both show up with God dwelling with us. These beautiful bookends through all the mess of humanity, the way we mess it up, God actually makes a home to share with us that ultimately is going to be bigger and better than the first one. Folks, our God is a hospitable God. He's not just a really good host. He imbues hospitality. Both the garden and the coming city of God, they are going to be magnificent. It's not like we went on a missions trip once. It's totally not scripted, but we went on a missions trip once and took students down to the Redwoods. If you've been to the Redwoods, they're like trees, but like on steroids. If you know Redwoods, we had this one girl, she walked into the forest that we were in, and she looked at me, she's like, huh, not so big. I'm like, girl, what? It's huge. Adam and Eve didn't go into the garden and be like, yeah, this is okay. I've seen better. We're not going to get to the city and be like, it's not New York. I mean, no, it's going to be amazing. It's going to whoa us. It's going to be like, what? I think for all eternity, we're going to be like, this place is amazing. God is amazing, right? He amazes us, and he models for us hospitality that should remind us that we are better together when our hospitality not just, meh. It's when our hospitality wows that we love like God. And so he goes and he takes who he already is and he begins to influence and put that into the operating system of his people. And so we see operating system 1.0 is in the Old Testament. Early in their history, the people of Israel are enslaved by the Egyptians. Now, can we just agree that enslavement, not good hospitality? Not the way to do it, no. The Egyptians, they feared the people of Israel. They saw them as a threat. They looked to dominate them. None of these are good tenets of good hospitality. And so when they are freed by God through Moses, they are given a covenant to live by. Think operating system. We can go to that slide if you want to. It's no wonder that hospitality then finds its way into the way God's people are to live. Because God had the idea, he said, and he modeled it for us. He said, listen, it makes sense that now I want you to do this in order to pay it forward, to again, be an image bearer of me. And to think about it, the Egyptians, they're kind of the norm then and now, right? We have stranger danger. We think of others. We have this divide now in our country where if you don't think the way I think, then you hate me and I hate you. Right? This is the norm we live in. Even friends and family who don't look like us, think like us, vote like us, have the same teams as us. It's not like, well, let's agree to disagree. It's like, no, we hate you and you hate us. We're afraid of your thoughts. We're afraid of the way that you think. We're afraid of what you would bring into our sphere, so we're going to hold you out here. That's the way the Egyptians did it to the people of Israel, and that's the way that we can, if we live with our default, look at other people, even the people within our church. We live with suspicion. We live with our guard up. We say, no, if I let you in, then you're going to hurt me. We're protective, and we have protectionism in our default. It's the way of the world. It was back then. It is today. But it's not the way it is with God. God knew even with his hospitality that it would be taken advantage of. But God says, listen, my vision for my people is that they are to be hospitable to each other and to the stranger in their midst. And it differs greatly from the experience they had in Egypt. As God's writing the operating system and kind of the law for the Old Testament for for his people in that age, he says, you shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is him saying, listen, to the person that is us, this is the way we need to operate. Hospitality, loving, graciousness, bearing each other's burdens. There are other one and others we'll get to that are covered with this throughout the series. But then he says this, when a stranger sojourns with you, when they're alongside you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you. So treat them like we just read you need to treat your brother and sister. You shall love them as yourself, as you were strangers in the land of Egypt. See, God's even pointing out, listen, Egyptian hospitality, really bad. Jewish hospitality under this operating system, it needs to be really good. Needs to mirror me. It needs to be restorative, life-giving, flourishing. Doesn't that just sound like, what's the word that you told me earlier? Shalom. It kind of sounds like that. And this isn't the natural way of living or interacting. This isn't just Middle Eastern culture. You can't just say, oh, this is what they do over in that culture. No, Jesus is saying, and God's saying here actually, this is the ideal for the people of Israel to live under. This is how you live with one another. This is how then you take that one another love and you live with the stranger that way, right? You can't love the stranger the way that you love your brother if you hate your brother. Then you're gonna put that hate on the stranger as well. He's showing them that they're better together when their hospitality wows. It's not what the Egyptians were doing, it's not what the Moabites, the Amorites, the Philistines were doing. They weren't taking people. And even loving each other well through hospitality, but God's like, we have a different operating system. And so then he forwards that into the next phase of his people. See, when the Holy Spirit came on the disciples and empowered them to spread the gospel message to the nations, it was hospitality that was at the forefront of that mission. Hospitality is the hinge that the gospel swings on. We see it very much at the beginning of the church, the birth. In Acts chapter 2, it says, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts." Hospitality was there right at the beginning of the church. And so Paul picks that up and he says to his church in Rome, contribute to the needs of the saints, right? That just happened in Acts chapter 2. And what does he add on to it? And seek to show hospitality. A couple of sentences later in chapter 15, he says, "Therefore, welcome one another as Christ welcomed you for the glory of God." What does it mean to be welcoming? It means to be hospitable. The writer of Hebrews, don't know who it is, but they say this, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." When we are hospitable to one another, when we show an act of hospitality that wows, our vision should be like, this person's an angel. And if you're like me, you're going to have some demon children that are there too. We've had those people in our home too, and we love them like they're angels. We might be entertaining angels. Man, I'd love to unpack that because it's actually it's kind of a throwback to the way Abraham showed hospitality in the old operating system. But that's for the podcast. We don't have one, but we've always thought of having one because there's so much more here. Peter picks it up and says, "Show hospitality to one another without grumbling," our text for today. Christ followers throughout history have lived this out. Christ followers many times have put the hospital back in hospitality. Right? Second century, there was a plague that went through Rome. And people were leaving Rome. They were leaving those that were in their families and just moving out of the city, and they just left them to die. And Christians said, no, we're not like that. We're actually people of hospitality. Of gospel love and generosity. And so they would stay when their family members got ill and with the plague, they would stay and they would love them, not back to health, but through death. And they started seeing that, hey, neighbor Bill, he's not there anymore, but wife Linda is. So what are we going to do? Well, why don't we bring her into our home? And why don't we die alongside her? Well, and so they put the hospital back in hospitality. During the era of ethnic slavery in the United States, Jesus' followers made up the majority of stops on the Underground Railroad. During the Nazi regime, Jesus' followers, like Corrie Ten Boom and her family, used their homes to offer and hide Jews and Nazi enemies for the sake of the gospel and hospitality. These were places and spaces not just of, hey, stay here and hide. These were places of shalom. Can you imagine being a slave on the run north towards freedom, or a Jew or someone knowing that the Nazis are at their heels, and you have to knock on a door and you don't know if the Nazis have already gotten there or if this is going to be a safe place, and so your knock on the door has so much anxiety and worry in it. And you knock and the door opens. And you know the first thing you feel? Shalom. You get a sense that the Holy Spirit is emanated out of this person. This is a safe place. I am a safe person. This is a place of restoration, of rest. This is a place where your fears can be put in the hands of Jesus. You know what that moment is? That's a moment of gospel grace. That's a moment of the gospel having human flesh on. Christians have always leveraged hospitality to advance the gospel. Whenever we practice biblical hospitality, we bring the human flesh to the gospel story. It's why gospel and love and generosity is right there in the definition. Because you and I, we have been dead in our mess and our brokenness and our sin. But God, with his initiating love and grace, he meets us there in our mess. He brings us into his shalom, into his heart of goodness and flourishing for us. And he does so with forgiveness and the offer of life through Jesus and Jesus alone. That if we receive this gift by trusting that Jesus is the Savior he said he is and the Lord worthy of allegiance and that his best is what's best for us, when we believe that, then we come to life. Then we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to embark on this adventure of a lifetime. And when we are with each other, we should be people of shalom, inviting others to feel like they belong. That's the fertile soil of the gospel. And in that environment, we get to speak truth of Jesus. We get to speak the encouragement of Jesus. We even get to speak truth, even though we may not want to hear it. And Pastor Jesse is going to talk about that next week with our one another. But it leads Dustin Willis to say this: the aim of hospitality is to forge relationships strong enough to bear the weight of truth. But our relationships will never get to that point if we do not offer genuine love. We are better together when our hospitality wows. And finally, on our journey today, what does that mean for us? How does this live out in the day-to-day bustle and hustle that you and I live in? And to be quite clear, I can see many of the telltale signs that we are becoming a faith family that wows with hospitality. Especially on a Sunday morning or when we host events, we come very much thinking of what does it look like to offer shalom, to make people feel like they are welcome and that they belong, that we are intentionally welcoming others with kindness and making space for them to belong. What does that look like? And early on, I said that if you're new here, if you're not yet considering yourself one of us, that I would speak directly to you. All right, ears on. Here's you and I. We get to have this conversation. Our desperate desire is to wow you with hospitality. And we don't know how we're going to do it yet. We have some ideas. Again, if you fill out a connection card, that's the best way to get to know, because one of the best ways to do hospitality is with your name attached to it. To make you feel like we see you, we'd like to know your name. Because buddy and guy or hey there girl just doesn't go very far for making you feel like you're seen. So we would love your name. We would love to know that you were here. And one of the ways that we are trying to wow just a little bit with hospitality, you've heard me say it before, is there's a little thing there that says, what's your favorite snack? We would love for you to test us. We had someone a couple months back say watermelon, and we had a watermelon the next week. We had someone test us just a couple weeks ago and said dill pickles. I'm not sure if you're here today. I'm not going to say your name, but there are dill pickles out there waiting for you. And they're like the top brand. I mean, they're good dill pickles. They're not like that lowly stuff. They're the big spears. I know my pickles. They're good. I'm just saying, if you're not here in the next 3 weeks, I will take them home. No, we will keep them as long as we can, but we want to wow you, and these are just little ways to do it, because really when we get to know you, and then our opportunity to serve you and wow you is there. I want you to put us to the test. Maybe a better way to sing it is this. Be our guest, be our guest. Put our hospitality to the test. Really, I practiced that all week, guys. I mean, come on. That's the best French accent I can get. It's there. I had so many thoughts about how we, though, as Journey Church, can participate in hospitality with each other. I had so many applications, and you're such a loving group, and so you're going to allow me to take the next 101 minutes to tell you every minute 101 ideas that I had, or not, so I just pared it down to two. There's just two ways that we can live out hospitality that wows. Give and receive. Give and receive. So let's talk about giving hospitality for a minute. Who from our church family might God be prompting you to show hospitality that wows to this week? Right? The biggest hospitality wow right now in our culture, because we are busy and hurried, might just be a conversation. It might be that old idea of, hey, I was in the neighborhood, pop in. Maybe it's an unexpected meal or dessert or latte delivery. Maybe it's just making space for someone to know. Maybe it's a call or a text and saying, hey, I was thinking about you. And to be clear, there are one another's that meet needs, that bear one another's burdens and meet those needs. We saw that in Romans 13. But this isn't about meeting a need. Hospitality necessarily about meeting a need. It's about meeting a person. It's about showing relationship. It's about intentional. It's about kindness. It's about space to belong. And so if you're sitting there, and it's been a while since you've had an answered prayer, let me just give you a little bit of a no-brainer here, one. If you pray this week, I can guarantee you, not because I'm a prophet or I know this, but I know God. If you want to see an answered prayer this week, here's the prayer that you can pray. You can even just steal my words and pray it this way. God, who in my faith family can I give hospitality to? I can guarantee you, because I know the goodness of God, if you pray that this week, you'll have a name pop into your head. You'll have someone text you. You'll run into somebody at the grocery store or somewhere in your travels, and you're like, don't you go to my church? And God's going to be like, I'm going to answer that one for you. And then we get to give. What does that look like? Then when the name comes to mind or when you see them or when they cross paths, and then your choice then is to be obedient in the moment. Be fully present to offer shalom, to offer real words of encouragement, real words of restoration and flourishing and love and generosity. To be present, I think, is one of the biggest ways we can be hospitable to one another, to not run to the next thing. Motivational speaker and football coach Ted Lasso is fond of saying, living in the moment is a gift. That's why they call it the present. I think when we want to give hospitality, one of the best things we can do is just give ourselves in relationship in that moment to that person. The second thing is to receive hospitality. And I was thinking that this one's probably harder than the first one, because pride is a real bugger. It hides in plain sight, and it's clothed sometimes in false humility. Because when we are on the other side of that gift of hospitality, we can almost instinctively think something like, no, I don't want to be a burden. No, I don't want to put you out. No, I don't need that. No, hey, I'm fine. Hey, bless your heart. See, when someone offers us hospitality, we need to take it. We need to receive it. And I learned this from a good friend of our family's. When they were just loving us through hospitality as we were a young family with young kids, and I would do the whole, no, we got this. No, you don't need to do that. No. And he just looked at me and he taught me this line, and I texted him this week and thanked him and told him he's going to be a sermon illustration. Don't charge me. But he told me this. He said, Jeremy, just take it and say thank you. That's the best way to receive it. I will receive that. Thank you. When someone is faithful to give hospitality, then they are being obedient to God and showing another one of us love. So why else would we receive it any other way except with gratitude? And Journey Church, I want you to hear this. I love you guys. And as a whole, I see that we have some really great signs that are moving us towards being hospitable. But there's one way that I just need to say I'm a little disappointed. We've not received well the offer of hospitality that we have put out as a church leadership this summer. We have had this idea called Dinner for Eight, and it really is hospitality. It really is this idea that we are opening not only our homes, but our doors and our lives to invite in, we don't know who. It's kind of like dinner roulette. We don't know who's going to show up. And the idea is actually elders, specifically, if you look at Timothy, are to have the gift of hospitality, or they're at least supposed to. So elders and deacons probably have it better than us elders, but we're trying to live this out. And as Pastor Jesse and I were talking about doing this summer, this was kind of his brainchild, and we thought, man, we're going to have a run on this. Like, we maybe don't have enough spots, and so we opened it for 8, which means there are about 60 spots that are available, and we've been communicating it for about 3 weeks now, and we thought, and he already had kind of a plan B, like, who else am I going to, because we wanted to get as many people into this experience as possible. And up to yesterday, we've only had 16 people sign up. We had 2 meals yesterday, and neither of them were full. We're a church of over 250 people. And we've had 16 people sign up for it. And this is not to guilt you. This is not to shame. This is just me saying as your pastor, man, I'm hoping we can do better in receiving. Because what an amazing opportunity. And I know you're sitting there like I would sit there and say, but here's my excuse. Sure. But how do we better receive? And so I'm just challenging us, if nothing else, to say, hey, that QR code's up there. We have now put it on the front page of our website. Can we fill the rest of those spots up? There are spots all summer. There should not be, when it comes to our calendars, at least one spot that wouldn't be open for you to go to, depending on how busy your summer calendar is. But again, we make space for the things we prioritize. But I would love by tomorrow or by staff meeting on Tuesday to come in and say, okay, how are we going to add more? Because our congregation is receiving. Our church family is receiving this, and we are busting at the seams, and we need more dinners. Because the opportunity there is for not only for that host and that person to offer hospitality, but then as you're in a room with people you've probably not been in a room before with, then you can offer hospitality to them as well. I would love to be better than Taylor Swift. Because when they opened up for the tickets for her concert, it crashed a system. And we're just waiting for you guys to sign up. And I would love, as your pastor, to see you experience hospitality. And so this is not because, we're on the list. I'm not going to tell you where, because we didn't want to be a popularity contest. It's not about sign up for this person or this person. It's like, hey, we're going to have dinner with somebody, and we're going to do this within the Better Together framework that hospitality wows. And so would you consider signing up today or this week by the end of the day and fill up these spots? And let's receive well the opportunity to be with each other. Because God has a design for how we should treat one another, making us better together. And we are better together when our hospitality wows. Let's pray. God, even just thinking through what you have said through your word today, the ability to come, we've done it a couple times here on the stage, Josh and others have led us in prayer, and Lord, prayer itself is an act of hospitality. Man, you're busy controlling the universe. You got enough plates to spin. And yet you hear my voice. You hear my heart. You hear the hearts and the voices of everyone here. You've made space for us, even in prayer, Lord. That is an act of hospitality. I didn't even think about it till now. You receive us well, Lord. You model this so well. May we gain even just an ounce of the love and desire you have through hospitality to see people flourish, to be people of shalom. Lord, every time I believe Jesus walked into a moment with someone, there was peace that exuded from him, and that is available to us through your Holy Spirit to radiate out of us. Lord, we can be hospitality hotspots, better than any Wi-Fi hotspot that our phone carrier allows us to be. We can be hotspots of hospitality going into a world that is fragmented, isolated. But we can be that here in our church. I pray that we would just set aside any excuses that we may have or any thoughts that run contrary to your truth. And we would receive from you first and then be a receptacle to others second. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.